So Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 13 through 22. But now in Christ, Paul says, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is bound together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually in a dwelling place for God. Now, keep it open. I want to try something. I want to try paraphrasing it. Okay? See what you hear. Beginning with the 13th verse. But now in this great land, you who once were scattered over the earth have been brought near in the blood of the patriots and forebears. For our peace is in this land that has made the many races and nationalities one and broken down the wall of hostility. By abolishing in a new idea of a nation the laws of monarchs and unjust rules, that we might create in this land one new community, a place of the many, where poor persons of the most different backgrounds might find peace and all be reconciled to God in one body through freedom to worship and to be ourselves and therefore bring hostility to an end. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the forefathers and members of a great new national household, built upon the foundation of great patriots and political innovators, the principle of individual right being the cornerstone in which the whole structure is joined together and grows into a unique nation in God's sight. That paraphrase was really pretty easy to do, because there is a strong parallel between the biblical images and our national symbols. There is an even stronger parallel between our national beginnings and the Old Testament Exodus story. I mean, who can look at our history and not see the captivity and the religious persecution in another land from which we are saved and our trek to a new world? Who can fail to see that journey over all those uncharted oceans, or at least poorly charted oceans, to a new place? Who can fail to see that as a journey in a wilderness? Pretty parallel, huh? Who can fail to feel in the writings of those first Europeans who came here a sense of being God's people and of this being God's world that has been promised to them? I wonder if we can't even better understand the feelings and the fate of Philistines and Canaanites and Hittites and Jebusites and all those people that the Jews overran in the promised land. I wonder if we can't better understand how they felt and what happened to them when we look at the fate of those who were the original inhabitants of this land. Perhaps there's also a strong parallel between national patriotism in the United States of America
and in the kingdom of God.
Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary says, a patriot is one who loves his country and zealously supports its authority and its interests. I think it's pretty easy to see what that means in terms of national patriotism. It means that when we sing America the Beautiful, there's just a little swelling that comes in the heart, into the throat as we sing it. As we share pride in our Olympic athletes or our space shuttle astronauts, or these days in our women's soccer team. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They are amazing, you know. There's kind of a warm, puffed up feeling as we share those things. There's kind of a warm, puffed up feeling that's not very different than a chance sighting of someone who is dear to us. You know, in a crowd, in a mall, somewhere, at church, whatever it is, to see someone that I love, even a symbol of that person, just feels warm. I remember the experiences at that point that built that relationship into a relationship of trust, of self-sacrifice. I come to believe the words of that person and of that nation. I begin to believe those, their words and their actions above everybody else, in spite of evidence that might be given to me to the contrary. I support the work for the well-being of that person and those persons in which I have that relationship, or the well-being of that national group that I find myself a part of. I don't value anything above or to the exclusion of the relationship between me and that person or me and that national group. It was old Henry Cabot Lodge, the original, back in 1888, who said, let every man, and I suppose we can include women, can we? Yeah, okay, in our day. He wasn't very PC, okay, in 1888. Henry Cabot Lodge said, let every man honor and love the land of his birth and the race from which he springs and keep their memory green. But he says, let us have done with British American and German American and Irish American and all be Americans. He says, if a man is going to be an American at all, let him be so without any qualifying adjectives. All right, well, I want to make the same plea. I want to make the same plea for the kingdom of God. I want church members to be dictionary patriots in the kingdom of God. I want us to be those who love the kingdom and jealously support and guard its authority and its interests. I want the great hymns of the church to bring a little swelling in the throat. And I'm talking about the hymns that have survived 200 and 500 years. I want us to swell a little with pride when we see the clothes and the blankets and the food that Church World Service hands out around the world with no great fanfare every day. Another human tragedy or human need every 11 minutes in this world to people who are victims of hurricanes and volcanoes and this week earthquakes and famine and war and whatever else is going on in the world. Church World Service can provide for 100,000 people in shelter and food and medical care and so on at a moment's notice. Didn't know that, did you? I want us to feel shared pride as members of the kingdom of God, as members of the church. I want us to feel shared pride in our colleges and universities. The Christian church has started over 400 colleges in this country as they swept across the frontier in those early days. I want us to feel shared pride in our mission stations in Appalachia and with the Yakima Indians in Washington. I want us to feel pride in our schools for the emotionally and mentally handicapped, for our efforts at education and health care around the world. 130 people in 30 countries around the world. I want us to come to believe in the words and actions of our brothers and sisters in Christ above all others, even when the evidence may be to the contrary. I want to know that we will support and work for the well-being of God's people and Christ's church, even when sometimes that's a sacrifice of our own well-being. I want to tell the Henry Cabot Lodges of the world that they're going to have to tolerate at least one qualifying adjective, and that is Christian American. And they're going to have to do that until the day when I say, when to say American includes that adjective in word and deed, that adjective Christian. Until that day, I'm going to be a citizen and patriot of the kingdom of God who incidentally lives in the United States of America. That's who I'm going to be. I'm going to know that in fact, we're not a nation under God. It's not true. And we are not finally and in fact, it is not finally and in fact in God we trust. But I'll also have to say those things. I have to say them because I wish they were true. I have to say them because I suspect they could be true. I have to say them because I'm committed to working hard toward that truth. It's like so many other things in our world. You have to say things are true long before they're really true. We say to someone, I love you, way before we have any clue what that's going to mean in that relationship. And sometimes it's a surprise, isn't it? It's like, how could we ever have any new scientific discoveries unless we first said something was true and then worked to prove our hypothesis? It might not be true, but we'd never find out if we didn't say it was and work to prove it. How would blacks and Hispanics ever have reached even the level of equality and freedom that they enjoy today had someone not called them equal in 1864 and in 1953 and worked to make it true for 100 years? You have to say it's true and work toward it. You women, we were joking about that a minute ago, but how could you have gained even the access to business and professionalism and so on, even the access you have today, had someone not said it was true that you were equal back in the struggles for women's suffrage and other things? It would never have happened. Well, I'm willing to struggle. I'm willing to struggle on as a person of dual citizenship, as a person whose first loyalty is the kingdom of God. And I eagerly await the day when I can cease to be Christian American and I can say in good conscience that I am a citizen and patriot of Christian America, where people are truly equal, where people can practice their own religion with absolute freedom, and any religion that has been brought to them by their heritage, and still out of that religion be leaders of our nation. We saw a little of that in these last elections, didn't we? I want to be somewhere where we care for people and not use them. I want to be in a country where we prepare to feed the world instead of intimidating it. And until then, I am going to dream the patriot's dream. And I'm going to remember the words from 1 Peter. But you are a chosen race, he says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people.
And now, our God, send us out into the world in peace. Help us hold fast to what is good. Help us support the faint-hearted and uphold the weak and honor all people and to live for Jesus' sake. Amen.